Solitaire Rose Novelcast, After the Fall, Episode 5. After the Fall is the story of a group of people 5 years after civilization has fallen to a zombie plague. In our last episode, Ray, who had left an army base, took shelter in a mobile home, was attacked by zombies, and used his radio to talk to the base, found out that they wanted him to come back, but he also talked to a mysterious person who was able to listen in on their radio conversations. We also found out about a zombie named Eddie, who could think and talk and plan. Eddie is a new type of zombie, as most of the zombies are, the traditional Romero zombies. For this episode, the characters that will be focused on are Wendy, who shared a house with a person named Tim, who died of a zombie bite, and Mark, who opened our novel as a loner who went from safe house to safe house, scavenging, not trusting anybody. And those are the characters that are focused on in this episode. Wendy had cleaned the house as well as she could, getting rid of any trace that Tim had ever lived there. She didn't even have a marker for him in the yard, just a burn patch where she'd covered his body with wood and burned it, making sure it wouldn't come back. The smell had been horrible, so she'd locked herself in the basement for a couple of days, not even coming up to check if the fence was secure or if the fire had finally burned out. Since then, she'd pretty much gone day to day in a haze. She couldn't decide if it was because of the death or if she was still suffering from the infection, but her days were a long, slow haze of cleaning, working in the garden, feeding the rabbits they kept as food, and checking the fence. Twice in the week, there had been zombies who had tried to get through the fence. The first one was trying to claw its way through one morning when she woke up. It was a male, like that mattered, who was wearing army fatigues and had a full head of black shaggy hair. She watched it before killing it, seeing how it simply repeated the same thing over and over. Grabbed the fence, pulled hard, then tried to climb the fence, but the holes in the mesh were too small for it to get its feet into. Then it hit the fence a few times in frustration. Over and over, it did the same thing, as if it was obeying some strange programming. She walked over to the fence with a pistol, looked at the zombie closer. Its skin was a pale gray, and its lips were blue. Its eyes were open, wildly, and she noticed that it didn't blink for some reason, just stopped, watched her with wide-open eyes, and did the same thing, over and over, more frantic when she got closer. A single bullet to the head made it drop to the ground. Black gooey liquid oozed from the bullet wound in the front of its head, and a more messy fluid puddle on the ground under where it had fallen. She'd thought the gunshot would bring more of them, so she sat outside on the porch, watching the road and woods around the house. When none had shown by nightfall, she decided there must not have been any within range of the sound, or they were just too torn up to come for whatever had made the sound. She went into the house and slept dreamlessly yet again. The next one was 3 days later, when she went outside to get one of the rabbits for a stew, and she saw that behind the house, a zombie had been able to work its arm through the wire mesh. It was a small female, and it couldn't have been more than a teenager when she turned. She was shocked and stepped back, even though she was quite far from the fence. The zombie was clutching through the fence, trying to grab anything, but nothing was within reach. Wendy was already carrying the pistol to take care of the rabbit. She aimed and fired at the zombie, hitting it in the shoulder. It staggered a bit, its arm pulled back through the fence, and then it went forward again, this time with more energy and ferocity. She paused and fired twice in rapid succession, causing the zombie to drop to the ground, still and silent. This time she didn't think about how they were machines that couldn't learn, or how they were so much like people she'd known before the fall who kept trying the same thing over and over to no result. That was what normally went through her mind, almost on a loop when she killed one of them, unless there were more. Then, all she thought was to kill the next one. No, This time she was just repulsed and ran back into the house to get her tools to fix the hole in the mesh. Tim had taught her how to do it. She was thinking about him and how he'd taken so much time to teach her things like that when she heard a female voice say, "Hey, I heard gunshots. Are you okay?" She looked over where the voice came from and saw two women who had to be in their early 20s walking toward the fence. "Yeah," she said cautiously, moving her hand toward the pistol she still had shoved in her jeans waistband. The two women were about the same height, probably about 5.5 feet tall, one white, one black, both with short hair. The white one was dressed in loose-fitting jeans, a half-shirt, and combat boots, had a large backpack on, and was carrying what looked like an army-style rifle. She had the kind of rough, weathered face that Wendy always associated with poor southern women. Her body was as muscled as any old fitness model, with small breasts, a hard stomach, and muscular arms. The black woman wasn't as hard, and was wearing camouflage pants and a tank top with bra straps askew so that the tiny strap showed under them. She was bustier, wearing a similar backpack, and carrying a huge pistol that looked like a movie prop, with a laser sight attached to the top of the gun. Her boots were pretty much the same as the white woman's, and she was the one who said, "Don't worry, we ain't scavengers. We're just traveling. I'm Angela, and my partner in mayhem here is Alice." "Yeah," Alice said, her southern drawl harsh and angry instead of warm and inviting, as most southern women always seemed to sound to Wendy. "We heard the shots and thought you might need help. It's not like these bastards know how to fire a gun," she finished, indicating the zombie Wendy had just killed. "No," Wendy said, still cautious. "I can take care of myself." Angela laughed. "I could see that." She didn't have a southern accent. It sounded like she might have been from New York. She felt horrible when she let it flash through her head that she was surprised she didn't sound like a rap star. Wendy hadn't known many black people before the fall, and sure didn't have much human contact since. Angela holstered her gun, and Alice did something to hers Wendy didn't understand, but she thought it was probably setting a safety or something. Wendy relaxed a bit and said, "The gate is around front. You two want to come in for a while?" "Damn skippy," Angela said. "We've been on the road the past couple of days, and we haven't found a single safe house. I've had to trust that she doesn't fall asleep on her watch." Wendy opened the gate, and it made a rusty metal noise as it swung open. They thanked her for letting them in, and made their way into the house. The first room they entered was a large living room, with most of the windows replaced by wood, three old ratty couches, and a rug covering a wooden floor. Angela dropped her backpack on the floor immediately and started going through it, while Alice looked in the kitchen and other rooms on the first floor. She called from what had been the laundry room. "This is a pretty secure place. Been here long?" "Almost 3 years," Wendy said, sitting on one of the couches and watching them both closely. When Tim was here, he wouldn't let travelers stay very long. He never trusted them, and often told her that he was worried they would kill them and take their place. "Truly safe houses are rare," he'd say. She could still hear his voice in her memory with the Midwest twang and his way of not putting pauses in his sentences, as if he couldn't say them fast enough. "All by yourself? Girl, I'm surprised you didn't think we were ghosts. I was solo for about a year, and I thought I was going to crack up before that ugly bitch knocked on my door," Angela said, huge smile on her face as she pulled out small packages wrapped in cloth. She opened one up, and it was filled with something Wendy hadn't seen in years. "Chocolate bar?" Angela said, holding one out. Wendy took it and muttered thank you quiietly as Alice said, "Yeah, she was holed up in a basement full of canned everything and thought she'd come out when the police finally answered her call. I still haven't shown up yet. That's why I quit paying my taxes." "Bitch, a cracker like you probably wanted to blow up the tax man's offices. Isn't that what you white trash hillbillies did before the zombies finished it up for you?" Angela said, sitting back down on the floor and eating her chocolate bar. "Yeah," Alice said, coming back into the room and sitting on one of the other couches, "and you just keep stealing. You couldn't wait to pocket them damn candy bars we found at the gas station a few miles back down the road. Yankees just have to take everything they can from us poor southern folk." They both laughed warmly, and Wendy finally relaxed a bit. Tim wasn't right about everything, she thought to herself. 3 years by yourself, Alice finally said as she'd grabbed another candy bar from Angela's pack without asking. She put her own backpack by her feet and started to take her gun apart, getting ready to clean it, Wendy thought. No, Wendy said quietly. She was amazed at how loud and boisterous these two women were. She'd talked quietly since the fall, hoping that if she were quiet enough, none of the zombies would find her. It was irrational to think so, and she knew it was irrational, but it was hard to let it go. I had someone else here until a couple of weeks ago. He got bit, and she trailed off, lost in thought about Tim again. Angela moved over and put a hand on her knee. I'm sorry, girl. It's got to be pretty hard. Wendy wiped away the start of tears and said, it's just so strange. We worked so hard to get this place all together and set up. We made it this far, and he dies because some fucking zombie bit him because we weren't paying attention outside the gate. Should have been something big, like fighting off a whole horde of them, not some stupid little mistake. Angela gave a reassuring smile. The whole thing's probably because of a stupid little mistake. We're still around, though. I saw you had cages of bunnies. Want to show us how you turn them into dinner? Wendy smiled and felt hungry again, putting Tim's last wheezing breaths out of her mind. Yeah, it'll be dark soon, and I don't think I want to try to fumble around out there in the dark. The three of them spent the next week together, talking, working the garden to gather up food, taking care of the rabbits. There were no further zombie attacks on the fence that week, and over time, Wendy felt more relaxed and started speaking louder. By the end of the week, Angela and Alice said they didn't have to lean in to hear her anymore. The sixth day that they were there, Angela and Alice left to go hunting and came back a few hours later with a pig carcass. They both knew how to render it down and showed Wendy how to prepare it for storage so that they wouldn't have to kill any of the rabbits for a few weeks. That night, they decided to sit outside by the fire they were using to roast one of the large pork loins into the night. Alice dug a fire pit, and Angela set everything up for the roast, saying she'd been in charge of things like that at her sorority before the fall. After the meal, they stayed outside, sitting around the fire. When Wendy started to clean things up, Alice said, "Forget that. We'll take care of it tomorrow. Least we could do is clean up from the party, since you provided the house and the food for the last week." Angela had laid down on the ground and had her sleeping bag as a makeshift backrest as she poked at the dying fire with a long stick. "Yeah, I'm surprised you let us in. Most homers seem to tell travelers to move along, worried they'll take stuff. Or worse. Tim used to tell me that when people came by, but I always thought he was just paranoid," Wendy said, sitting on the ground cross-legged. "I mean, we have enough to deal with without having to worry about the living trying to kill us." Alice laid flat on her back and stared up at the stars. She was quiet for the most part, letting Angela do most of the talking, and this time was no different. Angela shifted to be more comfortable before she said anything again. "I think people will always find a reason to hate each other. It's what they do." "No," Wendy replied. "I think people are basically good." "People are basically animals," Alice said, not opening her eyes. "If they're hungry, they'll do anything they can to get food. Then they want to be safe. Everything else comes from when they have those two things. I've seen things that make me think that people are no better or worse than a pack of hungry dogs. That's why we don't stay in one place very long." "I wanted to ask about that," Wendy said, not wanting to argue. "Where are you two headed?" Angela laughed. "That is a matter of debate. I think we ought to head to Canada. Rumors are that they stuck together up there, and the government killed off the zombies during the winter when they froze. Some people believe they just cut themselves off from the U.S. so that they wouldn't have a bunch of us flooding the border. Even if it isn't true, it's beautiful up there, and they get 4 months without zombies." "You are a back-bacon-eating psycho," Alice said. "If their government is still around, had the power to do that, and was able to keep it a secret for the past 5 years by telling people not to talk on the radio, do you think they'd let us in? They'd probably have guards at the border, if they're still around. If they don't, it's no better than here. I say we keep moving till we find a colony that's not full of whack jobs." "Colony?" Wendy asked. "Yeah," Alice continued, her southern drawl stronger than it normally was, a sign she was getting sleepy. "We lived in a place a little outside Oklahoma City until they started to become convinced that they just believed in God a little harder, the zombies would go away. I knew Chocolate Bar over there, but when they started having prayer meetings out by the fences every morning, I made friends with everyone who skipped the meetings. It didn't take them long to start claiming that some people didn't believe enough, and if they just got rid of them, God would resume his protection of them. We took off one night with about 5 other people and headed north before they decided to start looking for witches. We spent another year with a smaller group of people who'd taken over a housing development about 100 miles away. started getting into this weird kind of paganism where they believed in all the ancient gods because nothing else seemed to work. What white trash is saying is that we don't much fit in anywhere, Angela said. And I don't much know how to keep my mouth shut. People start talking crazy, I have the poor taste to tell them that they are fucked in the head. I had no idea people were getting so crazy, Wendy said. We just set up this place so that we wouldn't have to worry about the outside world. Tim said that if we just took care of ourselves, we wouldn't have to worry about the crap that was happening in the cities during the fall. We'd both been with other people, doing the same sort of thing, till I got sick of running. I hear you there, Angela said. We haven't spent this much time anywhere in a good long while. It's nice to relax. But weren't you worried that you might run out of supplies? Nah, Wendy said, getting up to throw another huge piece of wood on the fire to keep it going. The night had a chill to it. Without the fire, she might have needed a jacket. As it was, she liked the mix of the chill night air and the warmth of the fire. We had this whole area scouted out. Southerners were ready for the fall. For a lot of them, they wanted it. They liked the idea of civilization going away, so they didn't have anyone telling them what to do. They liked the supplies they got from the government, but they didn't want to give a damn thing back. This way, they could fill their basements with government food and then lock the doors and shoot anything that came around. Anyway, we mapped out all the houses within 2 days' walk, wrote up anything they had in those houses that we could use. Some of it we brought back. The rest? We found places to hide the stuff outside the houses so we could get it later. That's where we got all the tools, cots and stuff to start the garden. Lord, some of that stuff was heavy. Took a few days to get it here. What about the bunnies? Angela said, giving herself rabbit ears with her fingers behind her head. That was his idea. He didn't want to have to hunt wild game, so we trapped a bunch of them, built hutches, and started breeding. It's a bit sick, but they're really easy to take care of. He wanted to try and raise bees for the honey, but we didn't know anything about how to start a colony. Wendy thought about Tim again and how much he'd gone through. Only a couple of years, but it felt like lifetimes. You need to get out of here, Alice said. Y'all are going to go nuts here by yourself, and it's going to be hard finding another man out here in the boonies. Yeah, Angela said. You should come along with us. Fix the house up so all the good stuff is safe in the basement for some other poor bitch who finds it. Come along up north with us. Aren't you too... Wendy trailed off, not wanting to come right out and say what she was thinking. You think we're muff divers? Alice said, laughing. Angela burst out laughing as well. She was so loud Wendy could hear it echo off the house. Angela clutched her stomach and rolled on her back as Alice sat up. Honey, I don't know how to break it to you, but I'm still all about the cock. Pickens may be slim, but I still got it going on. No man can resist me. She ran her hands through her short spiky hair. And if they do, I kick their ass until they think better of it. Damn right, Angela added. That was the worst part of leaving the last place. Those pagan men knew how to fuck. I just wish I could have talked a couple of them into coming with us. Wendy put her head down, blushing. Tim and her had had a very active sex life, but they never talked about it. Angela stopped laughing, but still had a huge grin on her face, and Wendy realized that if she would have had access to all the things women used to make themselves attractive before the fall, she would have been a very dangerous knockout. When Alice spoke, her voice was as feminine as Wendy had ever heard it. Oh, we could tell you stories, girl. Chocolate Bar and I had one guy who we decided we were going to see if we could kill with kindness. She'd get him during the day, then I'd come around at night and see if I could get him to stay. She paused, and then her and Angela said it at the same time. Up all night! They collapsed into laughter and shared stories about men until the fire died out, then went in the house to get some sleep. The next morning, the house felt different to Wendy. More friendly. She was a bit ashamed that she'd assumed that Angela and Alice were together. She'd assumed they were. Well, together. She was the first one up, and started a fire in the stove to start work on frying the belly pieces they'd put away the night before. It had to be smoked and cured to be bacon, but it was still damn tasty. Angela was the next one up. She came up from the basement, looking like she'd been up for hours getting perky. Look at you, Angela said, big smile on her face, making breakfast and being all domestic. What, are you wanting to be someone's wife? Wendy put her head down and smiled again, hoping she wasn't blushing. No, I just thought that if I were up early, I might as well get things going. I was serious last night, you know, Angela said, grabbing some plates and starting to set the table to help out. You should come along with us. There's no reason to stay here. Yes, there is. It's safe. There aren't a lot of zombies around here anymore, and the few that do show up can't get past the fence. And I know there is more than enough food for the rest of my life. And I know where there is more than enough food for the rest of my life. I suppose, Angela said, sitting down at the table, if you want to grow old and die here all alone, hiding from everything. There aren't a lot of zombies anywhere anymore. They stick to the cities for the most part. A lot of them got killed during the last battles. Alice and I see maybe 3 or 4 a week while we travel. Yeah, when we hit cities for supplies, we have to put up a fight, but for the most part, it's a quiet world out there. Then why not just settle down? You didn't listen at all last night, did you? Of course I did, Wendy said, starting to get angry. You two are going to wander around, have no idea where you're headed, and maybe, if you're lucky, find something to do with yourselves. You heard, but you didn't listen. We're free. We didn't have to stay in the colony that went religious. We didn't have to stay with the people who thought they could use magic. We didn't have to stay with a man just because he was a good lay. We could go anywhere we want, do anything we want, and as long as we deal with the consequences of it, we don't have to answer to anyone. The world is ours. We can either explore it and see all the things we didn't do because we were too busy working and worrying and trying to get married, or hide away in some house and be thankful no one can find us. Angela leaned back in her chair and put a foot on another chair to balance herself. I don't know about you, but I want to be free. Maybe we'll find a better place. Maybe Canada does still have civilization. Maybe it'll all suck and we'll come back here and be rabbit farmers. And maybe we die and become one of those things, Wendy said flatly, putting the fried bacon on the plate to cool, grabbing a pair of tomatoes to cut up for sandwiches. Wendy said flatly, putting the fried pork on a plate to cool, grabbing a pair of tomatoes to cut up for sandwiches. Maybe, Angela said. It's hard to say, but at least you get to be free. When civilization fell, it freed us. No more jobs, no more bosses, no more society. We get to decide what we want to do now. I think you should come along with us. You're smart, you're funny, you know your way around a weapon. The more the merrier when you're out there. She paused and set the chair back down on the floor. Besides, how long do you think you can live alone without going nuts? If things don't work out, you can always come back here. And who knows, maybe you'll meet a man you want to drag back here by the hair. Wendy smiled at that and put the food she'd prepared on the table. Rather than a traditional bacon, lettuce, and tomato sandwich, she'd left the parts on the table in bowls. Then took them and tossed them in a separate bowl. She ate it like a sizzling salad without dressing. Angela laughed. Girl, you're too lazy to make a sandwich? I don't know about you. They ate quickly, making sure not to wake Alice up. Angela had clued Wendy in that she was always an utter bitch when she woke up. When they finished, Angela started to grab the plates and put them in the sink when Wendy said, When are you two leaving? Angela shrugged. Not sure. Since Alice was talking about it last night, I imagine she wants to be going in the next couple of days. She gets pretty antsy when she talks about going. Would you two help me get the house secured and make sure that if things don't work, I could come back? Angela nodded, and it was decided. Wendy looked around the house for what felt like the last time, hoping she hadn't done the dumbest thing in her life. Mark had been walking for over a week when he saw the caravan. He was headed for a house north of where he was staying, hoping to find a place to hole up for the approaching winter, and stayed away from the roads and highways for the most part. He was in Arkansas somewhere and had to cross one of the interstates. Fucking interstates. Interstates were like cities without the buildings. People tended to use them for travel, and zombies did the same. Mark tended to go in straight lines through the woods since it gave him a bit of an advantage. Zombies weren't real big on stealth. They were a lot better at putting their arms out and walking in the direction of whatever they wanted to kill and eat. Made it hard to sneak in the woods when you're tramping about on all the underbrush. He'd found a few houses he was able to secure himself in to sleep at night, but the trip so far had not been a very good one. None of the houses had any supplies in them. He was going through the food he had in his backpack faster than he wanted. He'd hunted some small game, but for the most part he was eating MREs and whatever fruit he could find. He was near the interstate when he heard people. A lot of people off in the distance. Arkansas's interstates were flat for the most part, and it was easy to see for miles. Since he was sticking to the woods, he wasn't able to see very far, maybe only a half mile. He hid in the woods to watch him wait, and as they approached, it was a caravan, the likes of which he'd never seen. They approached slowly, probably over 100 of them, some walking, some riding horses, and a few in cars being pulled by horses. They were dressed simply, no rags, but t-shirts and jeans. As they got closer, he saw it was people of all kinds, young, old, black, white. It was a mix like he'd never seen. The few groups of people he'd seen after the fall were all racially pure. He'd always thought it was because the white people didn't want to be around black people. The black people didn't mind not having to put up with pissed off white people very much. The singing continued. It sounded almost like a hymn. Must be a bunch of Christers, he thought to himself, and made sure he couldn't be seen from the road. Then, as they drew close, he was able to make out what they were singing. It was the old song, My Way. He started passing him by, and he could hear the lyrics loud and strong, and he couldn't help it. His curiosity got the better of him, and he decided to come out of the woods. He slipped through the fence that had been erected years ago along both sides of the road, started walking up the hill toward the interstate. His feet crunched in the gravel, and slowly the people stopped singing and looked over at him. What they saw probably wasn't very pretty. He hadn't taken a bath in the past 3 days due to the lack of decent water. He was wearing full camouflage that he'd picked up in the last safe house he'd been in. He gave up shaving a few years before, and his beard was dark. His hair was long and unkempt. He was about 6 feet tall. He had a backpack slung over each shoulder, and was carrying a fully loaded M16. One of the ones in the lead of the caravan stepped forward and said, "Hold on, friend." He was older, probably in his 50s, and had dark hair, a hard face with a prominent nose, but an almost kindly look on his face. Mark stopped, put the nose of the rifle pointing down, making sure to try and look as non-threatening as he could. "Do you want something from us?" the older man said. "No," Mark said, loudly so the people toward the back of the group could hear him as well. "I'm just a traveler. Wanted to know who you people were and where you were going." "We're going to Graceland," the man said simply. "Graceland? Graceland. Graceland. Memphis, Tennessee. We're all going to Graceland." He looked at them. Poor boys and pilgrims with families, and they were going to Graceland. "Why Graceland?" he asked. "Because that's where the king is from. He rose from the dead before this plague, and we have heard that he will return when it is time for us to be delivered from this plague." Mark looked up and down at the caravan and saw that no one was laughing. They took this seriously. They thought that Elvis Presley, the man who recorded Hound Dog and made the movie Viva Las Vegas, was some sort of religious symbol. He thought about it very hard for a bit and then said, "I think I'm going to be traveling with you people." They welcomed him gladly and continued down the interstate, this time singing Blue Suede Shoes. And there you go. We have now reached the halfway point, believe it or not. I'm kind of excited about the fact that we've reached the halfway point. I was looking at the novel, and we're halfway done. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank you for telling your friends, and I want to encourage you to tell other people about the Novelcast. Please have them start with episode 1 of After the Fall. Each novel will be labeled as such. After the Fall will be a series. The next book will be All In, which is a coming-of-age poker novel. So that will be starting in a few months once After the Fall is done. Also, the plan is that as each novel is completed as an audio podcast, it will then be available as a prose book on Amazon. One of the things I ask, if you do enjoy the podcast, please let me know. And also, please let your friends know. Please spread it on social media, on Facebook, on Twitter, on Tumblr, on all of the different media platforms. I'd also appreciate it if you would give reviews on iTunes and Stitcher. It helps the algorithm. It makes it a little more popular. And the more popular it is, the more often I can put this out. We do have ads. They're right here. That's right. Solitaire Rose Productions has sponsors. And our first sponsor is the one who's been with us since day one, and that's DreamHost.com. DreamHost.com is the best web host in the whole known universe, bar none. Go to DreamHost.com, enter the code CRAZY, get $20 off your first year. How amazing is that? Our second sponsor is the Dollar Shave Club. I get amazing razors delivered from the Dollar Shave Club just for a few bucks, and I always shave with a fresh blade. Does this make me a genius? Of course it does. Now, if you use the website shave.by/C19DC, those of us here at Solitaire Rose Productions, we'll get to wet our beak a little. We get a little piece of that, and that's what ads are all about. Our other sponsor is Gray's. Gray's delivers great healthy snacks to you weekly, bi-weekly, once a month, however you'd like. You can choose the kind of snacks you want. They're all amazing. They're all healthy. They're all good. And your first and fifth boxes are free if you use the code CORYS3R5. We love to hear from you, our fans, our beloved fans. Without you, there's no us, because then we're just talking to ourselves, and Lord knows I spent long enough doing that. You can email us at our brand spanking new email address at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. You can call us and leave a message, and we will play your message on the air. And that number is 952-856-0519. We have us a webpage that is at Crazy Comics, KRAYZCOMIX.SolitaireRose.com. Over there, you'll see some of our new sponsors and our brand spanking new Amazon store. So go check that out. We are also on the Facebooks. We're all over the place. We want to hear from you. If you would like to advertise on Crazy Comics and Stories or any of the other Solitaire Rose podcasts, go ahead, email us at solitairerosproduction@gmail.com. Subject, advertising. If you have a comic you would like us to review, it's the same Gmail account. Just instead of advertising, put review. Or if you'd like to be a guest on Solitaire Rose Radio or Solo Joe, go ahead and email us at that same address with the subject line guest. These here podcasts come to you free because of our sponsors, so please go visit them. Crazy Comics and Stories comes to you free every week. Every Monday, we've got a new episode, and usually we have it up by Sunday night. It's also available on the YouTubes. It's available on the Pocket Cast, on the Stitcher, on the iTunes. It's all over the place. So go ahead, subscribe, tell your friends, tell every human being you know about Crazy Comics and Stories. Solitaire Rose Radio is a little more infrequent. It comes out about every 2 weeks. And Solitaire Rose Novelcast comes out every other Thursday. So get ready. The Solitaire Rose Podcast Network is growing. Join us. Be on board. Become a fan. Become a listener. Thank you. This podcast is part of the Solitaire Rose Network. I am putting together a network of podcasts. So if you are thinking of putting together a podcast and you would like to join the Solitaire Rose Podcasting Network, go ahead and email me at solitairerosenetwork@gmail.com. We'll work something out. We'll figure something out. I do these podcasts because I think everybody can do a podcast. I think everybody, if they learn how, can talk about their life, can share their life, can share their stories. And I'm firmly committed to that. So if you're thinking of doing a podcast, go ahead, email me. We'll talk about it. Maybe you want to add yourself to the Solitaire Rose Network. Maybe you want to set out on your own. I'm not going to talk about this on the Crazy Comics and Stories or over on Solitaire Rose Radio, because Novelcast is kind of my baby. It's my little special project that I'm doing all on my own. We will be coming to you every 2 weeks. I also have a short story coming out that will be showing up on Solitaire Rose Radio within about 2 weeks. It's a short story that I've written, Mario Muscar, who's from the Comic Geek Speak message board, every year does 12 stories of Christmas, and this will be the second year I'll be contributing. And I'm kind of excited about that. So I will be recording the short story I write as a podcast, both to promote that and also so that the short stories readers come over and join us here on the Novelcast. We'll be back in 2 weeks with the next part of the story.